the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad on a gloriously sunny day here in the High Tatras Mountains. Well, not actually in the mountains, you understand. I'm in the town of Poprad, hence the name. My name's Eric Wiltshire, and this is your alternative look at the news throughout the week. And the Three Musketeers includes this week Lee Banks. Hello.
Oh, does it not usually include Lee Banks?
Not every week.
I've never missed a week. I'm the only person who's never missed a week on this show.
Is that right?
I think that might be true.
I am the only person out of the Three Musketeers who's been here. Rain, shine, all sorts of disasters. I've been here. You haven't. You disappear running around the Olympic field. Eagle's on holiday for 3 months.
My ego was not on holiday for 3 months.
And the ego person who's not an ego person, who was on holiday, in Gay Paris, it's Mark Gander.
Hello there, yes, from Gay Paris. And I have to say, it is beautiful weather here. All the provisions are back from holiday, which means that all the aggression and the bad driving, the bad parking, and of course, les côtes du chien, which means the shit on the pavement from their little doggy.
Naughty word.
Sorry, what was that?
You can't say doggy.
No. Oh, you can't say doggy. Yes.
It's not in fashion.
Right. Well, the bleep you will have heard already.
Anyway, can I tell you about my weather then?
Go on then.
It is so sunny, Eric. It's lovely. I'm sitting here. I'm like a ripening banana.
You're not doing topless radio again, are you?
Yeah.
I've got my top on. I've just got my bottoms off.
Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay, Radio Audio Boo, and you wonderful folks on RTI. Well, thanks for all the input. We're going to start with a very important message from the Slovak police, actually. So pin back your lug holes, as I say. And this is not my words, it's their words. There are going to be more cops around level crossings in Slovakia. From today, cops and rail police will be around selected railway crossings to supervise and enforce safe use of crossings, which could mean if you're stupid, you get a ticket. The aim of the action is prevention, positively influencing the discipline of road users in order to increase safety. Since the beginning of this year, sadly, right up to the end of July, the Slovak police registered at rail crossings 69 car accidents in which six people were killed.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and in 10 cases, the governing factor to this was alcohol. Mm. So you have been warned. There's no excuse. Mm-hmm. It's across all media. And thank you to the Slovak police for getting in touch with us. We're very happy to read these messages out at any time. Yeah. You will find that around the country there will be traffic police as well as the rail police watching what you're doing, and you will get told off if you go speeding over a crossing. If you try and jump the red lights and beat the train, you will get in even more trouble. And yes, do look for the signs. They've put huge signs up everywhere to tell you there's a ruddy crossing. It's got a big cross on it. So just keep your eyes open and just be safe, people.
And can I try
to beat the train, it may be the train will beat you.
Absolutely.
And one train can conceal another.
Can I just throw in a humanitarian story to do with level crossings? It isn't a joke. It's nothing. This is a true story about I'll tell you what. It's the only humanitarian story about a level crossing you'll ever hear.
Go on then.
Oh, all right. Thank you. That's very kind of you. This ages ago, but I was walking down a road towards a level crossing, and in front of me was a bloke with a dog, right, on a lead, a golden Labrador. And something happened with the driver in the car who was coming towards the level crossing. They had a bit of a contretemps through the window, you know, a bit of a flicking of V's and things like that. Yeah. When the car got to the crossing, this is the truth, this isn't a joke, it's awful really, but it's the humanitarian aspect of it that matters. The driver jumped out and they had a bit of a contretemps, a bit of a like fisticuff thing. The bloke with the dog hooked the dog's lead over the barrier of the level crossing. So while they're fighting, the train came through and the level crossing started to rise. Well, the dog thought it was quite funny at first as it was going up on its hind legs and looking around and everything. When its feet left the ground, it was a bit panicky, but it couldn't bark or let anybody know. All of a sudden, the bloke whose dog it was looked round and thought, oh, my God. And the two blokes who were having a fight went up and held the dog in the air until the train had gone past and the barrier came down. I think that's lovely.
Mm. Brought them all together. And just for our American people, our American listeners, to say flicking the V's means giving it the finger.
Yes, indeed. Ding dong, another gong is coming up as they're changing the rules about giving out awards in the UK to, I have to say, just congratulate both the Paralympics guys who are currently, the British have beaten the record that they set themselves.
Yeah.
And they're right up at the top of the tree at the minute, as well as the Olympians earlier in the year. And it's all to do with, I kind of like this story, because the rules were that you did one lot for this lot, one lot for that lot in the normal annual awards. But the Prime Minister has decided to change the system a little bit because of the 2012 Games, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's very nice. It's one of the few things you can say that David Cameron's actually done that makes a bit of sense.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, well, it is a very, very good thing. And, I mean, this whole impetus, really, on sport this year as a result of the Olympics has been really great. Only spoiled, of course, by the news that the local councils over much of the country are taking the opportunity to sell off sports grounds and turn them into development sites and, no doubt, blocks of flats and supermarkets. So this whole idea that we're going to start introducing sport and make it more central to the education of children and make it more available for young people, it's all a bit of a mixed message.
It is a bit. But I do like the idea of commending. And one of the other things that struck me, and I hope this is the case, I'm just really guessing, guys, it strikes me that the Paralympics this year have done something else incredibly special. And I think what they've done is they've got rid of the concerns and the negative side of disability.
I think, and something here, again, it's not a joke. I just think this is incredibly bad taste on behalf of the, certainly the BBC. Yeah. The programme that we have in Britain on the Paralympics is actually called The Last Leg. And I think that is so crass and unfortunate.
But that's
and
Channel
stupid.
4, isn't it?
Is that Channel 4? Well, then, Channel 4. Yeah. A crass, unfortunate, stupid, and insensitive. I think that is absolutely awful.
Well, I'd agree with you, but don't forget, Channel 4 are the host broadcaster. Well, not the host broadcaster.
Yeah, that's right.
They
yeah.
are the broadcaster. Sorry, BBC.
I'm sorry, BBC. You wouldn't say something as crass as that, would you?
No. Well, I wouldn't when I was working there. But it does strike me that it's got rid of all the... I'm trying to think of the right word, and I can't think of it, where people were nervous of people who were amputees or paraplegic. Now, all of a sudden... It don't matter anymore, and I think that's marvellous.
It's never really mattered, and it shouldn't have mattered, and you're right, and I think that is something... I think the Olympics, generally, the 2012 London Olympics, have been phenomenal. Mm. And, I am the least sporty person in...
True.
No, you're not.
I am, mate.
Get away.
Yeah, Mark, we'll just try that theory. We'll just try that theory. Jenson Button on Sunday did what?
He was in, what's that, Cinderella, isn't he?
Jenson Button did what on Sunday?
What did he do?
Won the Spa Grand Prix.
The Grand Prix, the little big like bees going, meh, meh, meh.
Nasty,
what a load of
nasty accident at the beginning of it, though, but there you
was
go. Yeah, it was a nasty accident. It just goes to show how amazing the technology is there, because if that had been road cars, I think there would have been fatalities, but there you go. Sad news from France this week, and very confusing news from France this week. And first off, we'll ask Mark what the area's like, because he's been down there. The family that were assassinated in France, theories going around all over the place. What was this area like in France then, Mark?
Well, I know the general area, but I haven't been to Lake Annecy, and they weren't actually found on Lake Annecy. They were found in a car park a little way away. Mm. It's all very, very beautiful, very tranquil, and a lot of people go to these lakes on good weather and swim, and often they've got sort of the equivalent of a beach and pedalos and diving boards and this sort of thing. People go picnic, very much family kind of area. Must be very shocking for the people who live around there.
So it's kind of conservative with a small C, a really conservative area and very relaxed, I suppose.
Well, I would say that France is generally speaking conservative with a small C. But yes, I think it is a very relaxed thing, and I'm sure that people are just wondering what on earth has happened. I understand that they were in a campsite there, and there are, you know, a lot of campsites and caravan sites around there, often used by French people, but often used by foreign nationals. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me as if there's almost a sort of a typical English holiday, taking the kids camping. And, of course, catastrophic consequence.
Indeed. Lee, just bring us up to date on where the story is in terms of media content.
Well, the media content, I would defend to the hilt on.
You've gone very quietly.
I'm sorry, have I?
That's better.
Have I gone loud again?
Yes, better.
Yeah. It's because I put the microphone down. The media content, I would defend to the hilt on this. I think the media is doing a superb job on it and discovering things which are absolutely terrifying over this. I don't think for a second that this is just the story of something that went wrong there, that it was somebody trying to rob them or something like that. It's almost certain that this was some kind of a hit because of the job that Saeed Al-Hilli did, and it's absolutely awful.
Well, no, there's another theory in there as well, Lee, about the brother who was not happy, apparently, because the
financial thing. Yeah,
yeah, the mother owned the house, and she'd left it to Saeed rather than Saeed. And there's quite a few people saying there was a lot of animosity there. Mm. But the one thing that confused me, as I was watching the reports, is they were saying that Saeed Al-Hilli worked for a satellite company, and I think that was a bit confusing, because I'm sure when most people heard of that, especially in the UK, they would have thought, oh, he works for Sky.
That's exactly what we did think, but actually it's come out and that is totally different.
Totally wrong.
You know more about this. You should explain this, Eric, I think, well, because it is probably getting very close to the kernel of this story.
Well, the satellite company that he worked for is called Surrey Satellites. And for years and years and years, I wrote a huge article about them years ago, they have been making specialist satellites, which are very small satellites compared to the ones that you have for television. And to describe it, if you take a typical television satellite, each solar panel on there is about the size of a cricket pitch. It's a massive, great thing. Whereas they work on smaller satellites that whiz around the sky. They're not necessarily in geostationary orbit either. And what these satellites are used for typically is for military defense purposes, scientific things. They can do, they can look at the rainforests, for example. They can look when there's huge fires. They can advise people. And more recently, Surrey Satellites have been involved in the new navigation system bespoke to Europe, because I'm not sure that everybody realises for many, many years we were all using American spy satellites to work our sat-navs. So Surrey satellites are not your typical put a 60-centimetre dish on the side of your house.
And as a journalist, I would suggest that this Sunday, when the Sundays operate on this story, that they will be focusing on the military aspects of it.
And somebody's typing.
That's that naughty Mark.
Is it that naughty Mark? Is it that naughty Mark?
It is the naughty Mark.
Let your fingers do the walking, Mark.
That's an old advert. Seriously, go on.
Can I just finish on this, though? Because I think this is another thing. If you think the story took off mainly because the little girl, she was 4 years old, wasn't she, was buried beneath the bodies of a family for 8 hours. And that is a horrendous situation for anybody, let alone a four-year-old child to be in. And this little girl's life, apart from the loss of her family, her life is going to be changed irrevocably. Because of what's happened. And unfortunately, she is going to become almost as famous as Maddie. I know the circumstances are totally different, but the life that it will give her. On the plus side, if there is a plus side to it, and I don't mean that as a plus really, but she will or she will ultimately become some kind of celebrity out of this, and it's so tragic.
Well, yeah, I mean, assuming that she's not terribly, terribly emotionally damaged and scarred by this. I mean, you know, who knows?
We don't, do we?
No, well, she will be. She obviously will. But, yes. You know, this is as big a story as any that's hit the news agendas for a long, long time. It's awful. It's tragic. And I don't believe, at the end of the day, if I've got my news editing hat on, I wouldn't particularly be looking at a family connection in this. I'd be looking at something else. Bear in mind that Saeed Al-Hilli fled Iraq a few years ago and set up home here. And within a very few years, he'd got a fantastic lifestyle.
Funny that. This is one for all three of us, gentlemen. It just appealed to my warped sense of humour. coming up next week on BBC Television, which does go out, if I remember rightly, on BBC World as well, so most of you around the planet will be able to watch, is a panorama special. Old, drunk and disorderly.
With being an old drunk.
Apparently, a peer of the realm, Joan Bakewell,
He drinks too much.
Has been investigating the hidden problems of alcohol abuse in older people. We don't abuse alcohol, do we?
But we're not over 65. She's asking why 65s are more likely to drink every day. So, I mean, I don't know about you, I can't wait to my 65th birthday.
That would be marvellous.
Yes, I'm going to celebrate
it with a drink.
I'm practicing now. Are you any good at it? Yeah.
But
I'm brilliant at it.
There's a wonderful guy who coined the phrase, which I've stolen, Roger Day, who's currently on the BBC. And his ambition is to grow old disgracefully.
Yes.
And I kind of like that idea.
I think, the thing is, you're talking... What happened, without going into any personal details on this, but Eric's aware that, age has suddenly entered our lives. Not our age, but, you know, because of...
Excuse me?
We are suffering the rigours of old age in our family. Somebody's...
No, it's called abusing your body when you're a teenager.
Yeah, well, you abuse your body when you're a teenager. What you're supposed to do is abuse your body when you're a teenager, give up for 40 years, and then go back to abusing your body when you're in old age. And alcohol...
I thought you were meant to abuse your body when you're a teenager, then get the real thing for a while, and then go back to abusing.
You just prompted me to one... Well, one thought's gone in my head. I mean, my late father was 80 years young, as he put it, when he sadly hit this particular part of the life. But right up until the end, you know, they were, Mum and Dad were out partying till 3 a.m.
And so they should be. You know, life is too short. And if you are somebody who has a propensity to drink, then, you know, when you're in your 80s, what does it matter?
Well, you've got to 80, so why should you care?
Yeah, and it's also that your life starts to change when you get over 65. You know, your friends start to die, your family starts to die, but even perhaps your partner will die and you're left alone. And so your propensity is to try and find some comfort. And alcohol's been around for a long, long time. We're all paranoid about alcohol. I love alcohol.
Well,
alcohol's one of my best friends.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do another one of these anecdotal stories, but my Martina's godfather died. He was nearly 80. And he'd got huge cancerous problems. But he was still a happy guy, you know, in that way, he was still happy. And we went up to see him in the sanitarium up in the mountains, which is a really great place if you've got breathing problems. And as soon as he saw me, he said, "Eric, put him," which means, come on. So I go, and I'm walking with him, and he can't walk very fast. And I've gone, "Joe, what?" And he's gone, "Fajcik, smoking." And there's this guy with cancers all over his body. We get I said to him, but you know, he said, "It's Eric, if you say it's going to kill me, I'm going to laugh at you." And he just enjoyed a cigarette. And why not?
That's good. Exactly. I've got a quick anecdotal story about it as well. There's a very good mate of mine who is 74 now. And he's his stock phrase was, "I've had a love affair with Jim Beam for the last 40 years. And he drank until he was 60 years old.
Right.
And drink actually, in his own words, killed him. He woke up dead one morning because of alcohol. Mm. He survived that death and stopped drinking. He
was, by the way, boys and girls, we are not endorsing smoking or alcohol consumption in any way, shape or form on this program.
We're not, but we're saying that we are a paranoid nation about, or a paranoid
True,
world about it.
We've got one more topic to get on in this particular part of the program, because I know it's going to take a while. I cannot believe it. The British justice system has gone into meltdown. It's gone mad. It's insane. It is barking. After a judge said, we're going to let a burglar go free. Yeah. Lee?
Just to come in here, we're not talking about the justice system. I mean, we're talking about a particular judge who made some extraordinary comments.
But the system allows him to do it, Mark. That's my concern.
Well, the system does allow him to do it, but it's also the system that is pillorying him at the moment. I understand he's being investigated. I mean, this is a guy who could lose his job as a result. And so he should be. Absolutely right. Yes.
Absolutely. This man is...
Right, hang on, Lee. Can you just explain the story for those outside the UK that will know absolutely nothing about it?
Well, yeah, there's a judge, Peter Bowers, who's one of our leading judges, was trying Richard Rochford, and who was facing a 2.5-year jail term for a burglary, for breaking into people's houses.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge inexplicably and unbelievably said, it takes a huge amount of courage, as far as I can see, for someone to burgle someone's home. And then basically let him off.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
But surely it takes more courage to fight a burglar in your own house,
mm-hmm.
to wake up in the early hours of the morning, maybe naked, as half asleep, maybe if you're over 65 with a bit of a hangover, and to take a burglar on to protect your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you could then face jail yourself because of the severity of the attack you carried out on this burglar. And yet this idiot, Judge Peter Bowers, is saying that this burglar was a brave man.
I can't. I just don't follow that concept at all.
It does seem very strange, doesn't it?
Does seem incredibly strange. I just want to squeeze a piece of late news in. The former Stoke City Academy footballer Andrew Hall, who was released from the academy at the end of last season, has in Luton Crown Court admitted murdering the young lady from Westerning, Miss Pleat, Megan Lee Pleat. Andrew Hall has admitted stabbing her multiple times in the head and body, and I'm sure the court will do what's necessary. After that particular moment. But it's the plea's been put in as guilty for murdering Megan Lee Pleat at a house in Ampthill in Bedfordshire, and she was originally from Westerning. And she died on the 9th of June. Back to our friend Julian Assange, as we do head towards the end. This is just so sinister. Sinister.
Very sinister indeed. So Sweden has cancelled an arrest warrant for Julian Assange on the over rape and molestation. Right, so there's no reason.
Could you tell me what molestation is in English?
Molestation, molesting.
Thank you. Why can't we use English?
Well, that is English. That's the right word. There is no other word to use other than that word.
All right. Just sounds...
You silly Billy.
Okay, sorry.
What? Is this not just a cynical attempt to draw little Julie out on the streets where he can finally be got? Don't you think Julian Assange is just becoming a bit of a... I can't use words like Mark uses. But a bit of an idiot. A bit of a knob.
Well, you can call him a pillock.
All right, he's a pillock.
Yeah.
He's a gentleman's sausage. He's a pillock. He's an absolutely ridiculous jerk. He's an idiot. He's stupid. And if he comes out of that place, which he will be kicked
out of... He's an attention seeker.
Yeah, and if he comes out of that embassy, which he will, he'll have to now because there's no reason to protect him. He is got.
Do you think the Ecuadorian people will now sort of change their attitude And he will have to come out of that room, which is an embassy, Mark.
Of course there is.
Well, I have to say, it does concern me. I mean, as you say, you start off using the word sinister, and it is sinister. And I suppose it's going to put everybody in a real dilemma now. But, of course, we don't know that the Swedish have actually dropped the extradition request. That's
waiting. Good point, good Mark.
Point. All right. So, although they've dropped the charges, does that mean...
He's been... You've been a journalist or some college or something.
Yeah, you do. Woo-hoo.
Phew.
It seems to me that there are still some charges outstanding, and maybe they're very minor charges. I don't quite know what the Swedes are trying to achieve, but I'm quite sure that there's some deal or some agreement. I'm sure there's a lot of talk between the Swedish authorities and the British authorities, and it may be finally to say that, okay, Assange is no longer facing extradition, and therefore he has to come out. This will then make the Ecuador people say, right, well, yes, this danger is over now, so you've got to come out. Then he comes out. Then, he will have to be arrested for breaching his bail condition.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen to him then? I don't know. Is it even possible that the Swedes will come back and say, well, we've now got further evidence, and we're now renewing the charge?
I think, Mark, you've hit the nail on the head.
I think you're right. I have to compliment you massively on that, because I missed it.
I think your news, your news sense has grown inexorably since last week.
I've missed that. I feel such a pillock myself now.
Is pillock an acceptable word on this show now, then?
Well, it seems to be today anyway.
Pillock.
But it will be interesting to see what the Equatorian group does now, whether they stick by Assange. And does that... It makes... Who's paying for him to be there?
I was going to ask that. Does he pay them rent? Is it like bed and breakfast?
It must be the Ecuador government.
Why is Ecuador interested in him?
Well,
I think it's just a way to stand up to Western powers and get a bit of political clout.
But wouldn't you pick somebody else than Julius Sange? Have you ever noticed, Mark?
Yeah, what?
Mark, have you ever... I'm not being rude here, I mean this.
Yeah.
That you actually could be Julian Assange from your pictures. And really, he is not in there. He is you!
I've been rumbled.
Oh, my word.
Look-alike.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed the curious coincidence between... Well, we've never been seen together, have we?
Exactly. That is a telling point. I was on the Sun, you would be Julian Assange as of today.
Well, I fancy a trip to Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy a massage.
I like a bit of Swedish.
Swedish massage, yeah, okay. Right, we'll be back in a couple of seconds, boys and girls, as we end part one. Postcard from Poprad will be back faster than you can have that milkshake, drink a cup of tea, have a cup of coffee, or in Lee's case, have a recharge of the batteries in his iron lung. We'll see you very shortly, boys and girls.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.